It took effect in St. Petersburg last June. Parts of unincorporated Hillsborough County adopted it early this year. So far, though, the city of Tampa has managed to thwart a ban on street solicitation. That could change, though, on August 4th when city council is set to vote on the issue. Linda Carson is a lifelong advocate for the homeless. She was asked to speak on behalf of dismissing a ban that would keep some of the cities most in need from turning to what may be their last resort.
Well, first off, I think by banning it is just giving up and admit we failed. I have to say that solutions have to grow organically out of a community. You have to have, again, the business, civic, religious, social service providers come up with solutions. We haven't even done that. Most places that have a ban have alternatives. They have enough, at least way more housing than we do. They have way more services and money and facilities than we do. We even voted down Tent City. I mean, when the Catholic Charities was going to help us. We have been doing nothing but punish, 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 punish. And this is just going to drive it. It's going to make it worse. Where are people going? They are hungry. Again, they are jobless. They are homeless. We can't just ban a lifeline.
Carson wasn't alone. In an unofficial vote, only two participants expressed a desire to ban panhandling in any capacity. Peggy Land of the Homeless Coalition hopes city officials will give the matter a little more time before moving forward.
Well, I've asked the mayor and I've asked the city council to go slow with this until they have some provision for all these people that are on the streets. You can't say, you can't ask for money. What are these people going to do? The organizations out there that are trying to help are at capacity. So we must do something. I think private and public funds need to go towards this.
Real estate professional and city council meeting frequenter Spencer Cass was the only person in favor of an immediate and all-inclusive ban. Cass has sympathy for the underlying socioeconomic problems, though. He suggested that an affordable housing fund containing $6 to $7 million be reallocated for charities aimed at helping those in need. He said given enough community involvement, city leaders can find more creative solutions than continuing to allow panhandling.
Our system for doing that is bad. You know, people haven't gone down to council to say all the people who are here. The next budget here, please show up. I mean, even council members have said, why won't the public show up? You know, what's the issue? Now, part of the issue is they schedule it at 5:01, so they design it so that the public can't really show up. But you know, you should send emails to your city council, whether on the budget, and say to them, look, here's the issue. These are great organizations. They deserve more help.
Linda Aiken volunteers with local homeless charities, but she also supported a panhandling ban, though she insisted the ban allow for Sunday solicitation. That exception would allow local newspapers to continue employing street vendors to conduct business on street corners. She said she doesn't think the ban is about safety so much as people just don't want to actually see the poverty they already know is there. A partial ban would keep newspapers from laying off hundreds of street vendors, and the homeless population, she says, would find a way to cope.
I come from all sorts of different backgrounds that, you know, I'm representing this or this or this, but I work with homeless people Sunday morning for 2 hours with the homeless feed, and we average 170 a week, probably from a pool of about 300. And I know these people because I see them and I'm out there. I'm not just putting eggs on their plate. I'm out there talking to them the entire time. And they come from so many different areas and so many different walks. But in the years that I've been doing this, I think I've seen two of them on the street panhandling. So these people, these 170 people that I see on a weekly basis, get along. There are services available if they want to avail themselves of the service.
Cass questioned the constitutionality of banning something on some days, but not on others. He said complete panhandling bans have already been challenged and subsequently upheld. His unofficial recommendation to the city was to stick with what works. Cass proposed some solutions to help less fortunate panhandlers, but he said newspaper sellers had other options.
On a constitutional basis, the most constitutionally protected thing we can do is ban everything. Nothing stops the newspapers from selling their papers on private property, and if they want their people out there selling them, right, they can go into the Home Depot parking lot if Home Depot wants to give them permission, or CVS or Walmart or wherever. Nothing stops them from having their newspaper boxes. Nothing stops them from purchasing property like every other business does and putting up newspaper stands, right? And complying with the laws like every other person in this city does, right? They want people out there, right? Whoever's been to New York knows about the old, you know, newspaper stands. You walk by, you buy a newspaper, employs people. But they sort of feel, well, we should be subsidized. We should be subsidized by other people. So, you know, we can carry on our business. I don't believe in that.
This issue will be formally addressed at the August 4th City Council meeting at 9 in the morning. The public is welcome and encouraged to attend. For WMNF News, I'm Janelle Irwin in Tampa.